Turning now to news from Africa. Earlier this week, a UN panel officially released its report on the conflict reignited by the M23 militia in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. The report includes documentation that top officials in the Rwandan and Ugandan governments were involved in arming, supporting, and even providing troops to the M23. The report implicates Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni's brother and identifies Rwanda Defense Minister James Kawarivi as the commander of the M23 militia in Congo. KPFA's Ann Garrison spoke to Loyola University Professor Brian Endless on calls for the use of targeted sanctions to try to end or at least reduce the bloodshed and the numbers of Congolese people struggling to make their way to refugee camps or fleeing one refugee camp in search of another. Here's Ann Garrison and Professor Brian Endless.
Can you explain the sanctions that were imposed on some of the officers of M23 in Congo?
Yeah, the sanctions are basically what are now called targeted sanctions, personalized sanctions, and they focus on individuals instead of entire populations. So my understanding of these are that they are fairly typical, dealing with financial restrictions and travel restrictions for the individuals. I don't know if they included the families in this case. They sometimes do, but with rebel groups or people who are classified as rebel groups, it's not always as necessary. They are basically locked out of their own bank accounts. They can't get access to them. They're typically group bank accounts, if there are any, are locked. And they are limited in their traveling, where they can't travel at all without international permission to travel.
And these are foreign bank accounts that they're locked out of.
Correct. It's actually all bank accounts. This was one of the big steps that happened, started in the 1990s with sanctions on Iraq. And really it was after September 11th that targeted sanctions started to get more power, because many of the countries like Switzerland, Cayman Islands, and other Caribbean island states that normally had very private bank accounts started to agree to work with the international community. And now when the international community names someone a terrorist, or when the Security Council, for instance, puts targeted sanctions on individuals, the banking countries have agreed that they will participate in those sanctions and that they, as well as others, will lock individuals out of their foreign accounts.
Maurice Carney, Executive Director of Friends of the Congo, said that slapping these sanctions on M23 officers in Congo was like sanctioning some petty street corner drug dealers compared to the people really responsible, by which he meant the top level officers and President Kagame and Museveni.
I would tend to agree with that. I might not put it exactly that way, but I think that sanctioning those individuals is just barely scratching the surface. And I think Maurice is absolutely right when he suggests that if sanctions are to work, they really need to be focused on the people who are supporting M23 and other groups, and the people who for years have been accused of backing the conflict and perpetuating the conflict. The UN's been talking about this since the late 1990s, and it's still very clearly happening now. Just the most recent UN report talks about both the Rwandan defense minister by name and also Ugandan President Museveni's brother.
And that was Loyola University Professor of International Relations Brian Endless on the call for targeted sanctions imposed by the UN Security Council against the aggressors most responsible for the conflict in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. For Pacifica, KPFA, and Afrobeat Radio, I'm Ann Garrison.